Amen. The words of that anthem you just heard, though I may speak, come from the 13th chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We have been preaching our way through this chapter of Scripture in three parts, as part of a three-part sermon series. The opening verses of 1 Corinthians 13 go something like this. You just heard them sung. If I could speak the words of every language on earth and in heaven, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing but a noisy gong. If I am the most powerful prophet that the world has ever known, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I have all knowledge and I understand all the mysteries of the universe, but I do not have love, then I gain nothing. In part two, Paul goes on to give us the most eloquent description of Christian love that the world has ever known. This is the part of chapter 13 that is so famous. It goes like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It keeps no record of wrongdoings, but does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices only in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes in all things. Love hopes for all things. Love endures all things, because love never ends. So now we're on part three, and that's where we're going to pick up today. Let's listen for God's word to us this morning in 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13, the rest of this chapter. Love never ends. Now, as for prophecies, they come to an end. As for languages and tongues, they cease. And for knowledge, knowledge comes to an end. For we know only in part, but we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror dimly lit. But then, we will see face to face. Now, I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have already been fully known. And so now faith and hope and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray for the one who preaches, for his sins can be so many. Let us pray. Holy and merciful God, we see and hear now only in part, but we trust that in you we will one day see love in full. So may something of what we see and hear today be of you and your work in our lives, and the love that you would have us live with, and the love with which you have shown us in this your world. Amen. A few months back, I came downstairs and I found my youngest daughter, Julia, standing directly in front of the TV. And she was dancing, and she was waving her arms around, and she was laughing and giggling, just staring directly into the television. And I said, "Julia, what are you doing?" She said, "Look, Daddy, I'm on TV." I said, "Okay, I guess you're just pretending." So I just sat down and started scrolling on my phone for a moment as she continued to move and sing and giggle and dance a foot from the television. She said, "You see, Daddy? You see? Look closely." She went and grabbed my hand and dragged me over to the TV. She pointed at the screen. I started to realize what was going on. The light from the window in our den was shining in, pouring into the house and reflecting off of the TV screen. And so if you squinted just right, You could make out the shape of Julia's body, and since now I was standing behind her, you could make out the shape of my body as well. You could make out the shape of the room and the furnishings all around. You couldn't quite see the colors, though, because it was dark. So you had to squint and look at it. Look hard. That's what she said. Look, Daddy, look hard. And you could. You could see it if you looked hard. Julia was on TV. Kids are so fascinating, aren't they? Imaginative and creative, they notice all these things in the world that we adults no longer have the pleasure of noticing. Things that we've gotten used to, things like your reflection shining back at you off of a turned off TV screen. They're constantly discovering this world that we live in, and they're trying to make sense of this confusing life that we all just have been given and inherited. From the moment, think about this, from the moment that a child is born, it would seem like everything in this world belongs to them and revolves around them. Babies don't have to do anything. Oh, to be a baby. They just sit there. When someone cries, someone picks them up and maybe feeds them. When they poop, somebody changes their diaper. Babies need all kinds of things in life to survive. But when it all comes down to it, everything that a baby needs can be wrapped up in a single word. And that's not food, that's not shelter, it's not warmth, it's not protection and care. Everything a baby needs comes down to love. All a baby needs is to be loved. They need someone else to make themselves about them. All of the time. Without stopping. And then, of course, as a child grows older and they grow a little more older, they grow more independent. And first they learn to sit up by themselves. Then they learn to eat on their own. They learn to scoot and crawl and eventually walk across the room on their own. And then they come to be potty trained. That's really great. No more diapers. And then they learn their letters and their numbers, and then they start to discover things about the world with wonder, like how their reflection shines back at them off of a turned-off TV. And as they grow older, they come to be able to love things themselves. They can make themselves about things other than themselves. They love toys. They love TV shows. They come to share and make friends with one another. They give hugs to parents and grandparents because they start to love. And at the same time, they no longer need someone else to make themselves about them all of the time, but they still need lots and lots and lots of love most of the time, don't they? And they need love not just because they still need someone who understands the world around them better than them to make sure that their most basic needs get met. They also need love because as they grow older and grow more independent in life, life starts to hurt. Grief and loss, fear and loathing, shame and guilt and exclusion. These are feelings that we human beings start to feel in our lives as early as age 2. And if you ever want to feel your heart break, all you got to do is look at a kid who's had their heart broken, right? A heartbroken child, it's impossible not to feel for them because the kids are just so helpless to the dangers of life. They have such little control over the world around them. They are often so innocent, aren't they? And so when a kid cries over their lost blankie or gets scared by a barking dog or gets called an ugly name on the playground, we all have this instinct that tells us that what that child needs from us in that very moment is for us to give them a hug, offer a word of comfort, a feeling of reassurance and safety. Someone else has to make themselves about that kid. We feel compelled to, don't we? Because we know that what that kid needs is love. Because when it comes to the misery of life and the wounds that are created by things like grief and fear and shame, the only balm we have is love. To have someone else set themselves aside and make themselves about you so that you can be seen and known and comforted and connected and validated and served and helped. That has the power to heal. to slowly start to set things right again. This is the only way we have, the one way we have in life, to mend the tear of the fabric in our lives that inevitably comes, one little stitch at a time. And then, of course, as you grow even older and a child grows even older, it's not like our need for love goes away, right? The kind of grief and fear and shame that we first started to feel as kids, that's really only the beginning of it. Because the world keeps on hurling it at you over and over again. And the problem is, as you grow older, more and more independent, you're walking, it starts to turn into running, and your talking starts to turn into lectures, and you're driving around, and you're reading, and you're taking classes, and you're going to meetings, and you're making financial decisions, and you're learning things, and you're making predictions about the world. And we all start to fall under this illusion that somehow, through all of this, we're actually growing less helpless to the dangers that come with life, and we're gaining more meaningful control over our lives. And so when the fabric of our lives then starts to tear, there is some expectation that's found in this world that we have to mend it ourselves. We have to find some way to mend it ourselves, because we're not so innocent now. We're not so helpless now. But that never works. It never actually works. Because the truth is, in the grand scheme of things, we are all still such little children. I mean, even the wisest among us, there's so much that they don't see and know about the mysteries of life. On the timeline of eternity, we are less than just a blink of an eye. And to the reaches of the universe, we are less than a speck of dust floating on a pale blue dot. There is so much we cannot see. There is so much we cannot know. And we only have so little time. So at least what we have with the time we have is love. And this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, this is such a commonly read and cited and quoted and well-known passage of Scripture. You hear it all the time in weddings. It's sold on pieces of kitchen art precisely because it's about love. I mean, love sells, after all. It is the subject of every Taylor Swift chart topper. It is the subject of every mediocre Hallmark holiday movie. Love sells, and the reason it sells is because it's so self-evidently a powerful human experience, a thing we can all give and a thing that we all need. But for the Christian, it's something so much more. When Paul talks about love in this passage here, we don't mean it as just an abstract concept. Love is not simply a warm and fuzzy feeling that you feel, nor is it a thing that you're meant to spend your life trying to find for yourself. For love is something so much deeper. For the Christian, first, it's our deepest responsibility. We are called to make a practice of making ourselves about people other than ourselves because people need it. The world needs it. It's that one balm that we need to heal those wounds. And in a world where we cannot mend ourselves, where it doesn't work to try to mend ourselves, we have a duty then to try to mend each other by making ourselves about each other. But for the Christian, it goes even deeper than that. For the question isn't simply whether or not we can love one another. Because for the Christian, love is not just a responsibility. Love is something more audacious. It's hope. It's our hope. Because for the Christian, love is the very animating force of the entire universe. It is the very thing that sets the stars ablaze. It is the very power by which God spoke this world into being. And in the end, it turns out that love is the one thing that remains. The only question is whether or not we can see it. Can we see it? Paul writes, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." Do you understand? In the Roman world, mirrors are not like they are today. Mirrors back then were made out of silver. They hadn't quite figured out how to make glass so reflective yet. So they were made out of silver, and the silver would have to be polished over and over again to try to keep it smooth and keep the image clear. And often, even then, it was not enough. And the reflection that you would see back in the mirror would always remain a little dark. You could see the shape of your body moving around. You could see the shape of the room and the furnishings behind you, but the colors would not all show up. They would be dim, and you would have to squint just right to make out the image. And whatever image that you saw when you squinted would be completely dependent on how much light is pouring in through the window behind you. Don't you see then what Paul means here when he says we see now through a mirror dimly? In one breath, he tells us that love, there is a love that never ends. But how could that be? I mean, this is a world where grief and fear and shame are so constantly hurled our way. This is a life that hurts. It can even hurt a two-year-old. But what if, when we blink our eyes before eternity and we reach out from this pale blue dot to the corners of the universe, we took a moment and we started to consider how little we actually see and know and understand about the mysteries of this life? And could it be that if we let the light pour in from the window behind us and we squint at this life just right, we might see that love is not just the one thing we have to mend the fabrics of life. It is a glimpse, a dim but visible reflection of the very God from whom we came and to whom we all belong. Could it be then that when our day comes and the blink of our eye has passed and our bodies return to the dust of this pale blue dots floating in space, and we've taken our very last steps, and every word we've ever learned to speak has been completely forgotten, and every prediction we've ever made has come to fail or pass, and every class we've taken has ended, and every meeting has been settled, and every decision, right or wrong, has been made, could it be that the one thing that will remain is love? If you squint, you can see it. And not just a love with which we are loving each other, which we love, but a love with which we have been loved. The greatest love with which we could be loved, which is the love that from the very beginning God brought this world into being with, and a love with which God then came and made himself about us. Not just for a moment, but all of the time. And even to the point of suffering and death on a cross, to which even then love did not come to an end. For in the end, it is love that remains. Can you see it? That's the question. It's dark and it's dim, but if you squint, you can see it. You can make out the shape. As everything else of life fades, look how God's love remains. Look how God's love remains. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, then, we squint. Amen.